last presentation for the afternoon is Sailing to Tahiti Aboard the Goodwill by Bill Livingston.
You can relax now. I'm after these two factual packed talks. Almost exhausted me listening to it. This is going to be anecdotal and a little bit of my life, you might say. In fact, in 1947, I was here at the Griffith Observatory serving as a guide. I actually worked as a guide here for 5 years, not full-time or anything, but off and on for 5 years. And I got into astronomy in that way here at Griffith. I was helping with a school talk, which was given by Dinsmore Alter in the planetarium. He was naming giving the Arabic names for stars. He said in the Big Dipper, Mirak, Bad, Dubi, Alios. And you know, I was looking over at the audience of kids. It was dark. And then I realized this kid here in this seat, only 4 seats from me, he's standing on his head. That's the way he was trying to interpret the talk. In May 30th, 1965, there was an eclipse of the sun, and it was not going to touch down almost anywhere on land. It was across the Pacific Ocean, which is a big ocean. You can see here and appreciate the fact that there's a lot of water there, and not much chance for good eclipse observation. But 1965, this is post Sputnik. We had a lot of money and a lot of enthusiasm, and the idea was you could do anything you wanted. And so we proceeded to do that. The eclipse touched down on two atolls. One was Motuoni in the French Polynesia. The other was Manawa in the Cook Islands. Here is a view of Motuoni. It's just an atoll covered with coconut trees, and not very promising as an eclipse site. A little few facts about Motuoni, also called Bellingshausen, the Moromoro, Papi'i. Population in 1957 was about 200. And these were all workers on for the coconut. Added coconut. However, by 1965, there were only 3 people there. What had happened to them? Well, the French were getting ready to make their atomic tests, and so they had the need for a lot of manpower. And they had better jobs, so they went there. As far as I can tell, the population now on Motuoni is 0. It's an atoll. It's called passless. That is to say, can I back up here? That is to say, in this inner lagoon, you cannot get a sailing ship. So to get to the island, you anchor off the island in the ocean, and then you send in small dories or a Boston Whaler, I think they call them. Bana, the thing I remember about the place were the moray eels. You would walk along the shore, and suddenly a moray eel would jump out. Not at you, it was just disturbed. You just disturbed it. That was the thing. The eclipse duration, well, it was a significant eclipse in the sense that it had a five-minute maximum, a little over 5 minutes, but on this island, about 3 minutes. And there was no drinking water on the island. Planning. Well, when we when the American delegation proposed that we go to Motuone, the French said no. Because they were, of course, didn't want to have people there with other boats and stuff. They were getting ready for their eclipses. But I think the French Academy interceded in some way, and so they said, okay, but only one boat. Now, our home institution called ORA, Association for Universities for Research in Astronomy, was able to lease the sailing ship Goodwill, a schooner, 160-foot schooner, and it had previously been used for racing between LA and Hawaii. And it was owned by a guy named Ralph Larrabee, who was a telescope builder and had, was putting a lot of money into our place, or we were putting a lot of money into him, I think. And anyway, he wanted to go on this expedition, and you can see how it's kind of working out here. They loaded up the eclipse gear, some 12,000 pounds, here in San Pedro, and sailed to Papeete, Tahiti, with a crew of 18 volunteers. Scientists, mostly from Tucson, Sac Peak, Boulder, flew to... this is the Goodwill. Not in while we were sailing on it, but probably Honolulu, my guess is. So here we are, the scientists, getting ready to get on Pan Am and fly there. Who were they? Well, most of you guys won't recognize or know these people generally. One was Jack Eddy here in the light suit. You probably know of him. Various astronomers. And the Aerospace Corporation had given us a party and provided us with lays. I might say one comment about this Pan Am flight. You know, we're going to a South Pacific island. You're beginning to think about romantic things and all that. Who was my partner on the Pan Am? It was a stupid tape recorder. So here we are at sea. I personally am not very much of a water person. I felt like a bump on a log here. I don't remember very much about it, but people told me that it was a wonderful thing. We finally, after we flew into Papeete, we visited the Cook Monument here from the Venus Transit business, which was, that made it astronomical. We went to Quinn's Bar, which was actually the best thing that was there in Papeete. So then we sailed on this Goodwill and got to the island, and we offloaded somewhere down here in the bottom and got into a place and made camp here on this. Pictures from Google Earth are amazing. These are individual trees. Why they elected who should give us a high-resolution picture of that, I can't imagine. There's nobody there. Why did they do it? And it just improved, actually, in the last couple months. Something funny going on. We had our camp there. There were two camps. The Kitt Peak, this is another view of the island. The Kitt Peak contingent put up their apparatus. We had Tahitians to help us to pour cement, make the foundation. Basically, what we were going to do was to make a three-color scan of the corona. This is our team. I'm on the left, Jim Brault, Jack Brandt, Don Trumbull. And this is the rest of them, all of us together. Pretty much a motley crew, as you might guess. The Tahitian's holding a bird, one of those goobies. I don't know what you can say about it. Names of the people. Serge Korp. You know, Serge Korp, I don't know how he got there, but he was, it turned out, he was a member of the Explorers Club. And he claimed he didn't know how to put up a tent. And he somehow got me to help him put up his tent. So we began to learn a little Tahitian. There was really no need. We had no women there at all. I guess we were just, you know. I was a cook for our group of four, and here I am looking at recipes probably in the Nautical Almanac. Jack Brandt looking at our apparatus. Diagram of our apparatus, which was basically a three-color system with split mirrors, red, blue, and violet channel, and then a mutating mirror, which allowed us to scan the corona in this fashion. The eclipse came off, as predicted. But no one took a picture of the eclipse, and I have looked all over for a picture. There was a postage stamp from the Cook Islands, but it was cloudy there. So I don't know where they got that. But we know what corona looks like, something like this, and we scanned it. And thanks to Jack Brandt, who is... I must add another comment here. We were, of course, all on the ground here, but, you know, this is the time when you can do anything. So Los Alamos sent a plane, and Sandia sent a plane, and they flew over, and we had a very good sky until they came and laid down all these contrails. And if they had done that, we'd have done a lot better. And by the way, the only picture that I can find of the eclipse was taken from this Sandia plane, and I wouldn't even want to show it to you. It was very, very poor. We did write a paper, thanks to Jack Brandt, who some of you may know. He always comes through. And we found that the temperature of the corona was 1.6 million degrees. That's not a big deal. Okay, the eclipse is now over, and they sent, and the Goodwill, which we're expecting to go home on, got into trouble in some bad weather, and so they dispatched a small inter-island Copra boat to take us away. We got on the boat and put to sea, but my gosh, the waves, you can't imagine, these waves were really big waves, and I think the captain decided this is not a good idea, what we're doing. So we came back to the island, we offloaded, and the French sent in this minesweeper that you see here. And we got onto the minesweeper. And I remember getting on the minesweeper. I was in a little boat in the vent going up and down, and you're supposed to get on the ship. And the next thing I knew, some Tahitian had grabbed hold of my pants and thrown me on. Okay, we're on this minesweeper, and it's really stormy. And I go up, I was okay, pretty much, so far. And then I wanted to get my sleeping bag, so I went down in the hole, and here were all these French sailors sitting around a bucket, growing up. Well, I pushed my way in. Okay, well, that's basically the story of the expedition. But I also have here the fact that the French did carry out their... I found this on the net just the other day. Did carry out their tests at this island. For that, this is the picture of the island, and you can see that there's a lot of construction, landing strips, so forth. So this improved the economy there in Tahiti quite a bit. And they had this guy to come and watch it. Probably recognize him. Anyway, that's the basic story. They exploded their bomb, and finally a nice view, the South Sea, the way you think it should be. The boat itself, the Goodwill. This is an epilogue, ending now. 10 years later, went to the bottom of the sea, hit a rock off Baja, and loss of all passengers, all crew. Thank you. Questions?
How long did the journey take from mainland U.S. back to the continent?
I'm sorry, how long?
How long did your journey last?
Oh, we were on the island for about a month, actually. Plenty of time. And, of course, the Pan Am flight was pretty quick. And I don't remember how long it took the schooner to get there. It was a slow process. Everything was fine until the seas got bad, and then everything kind of went pop.
Any other questions? Okay, well, that concludes this afternoon's session. Before you all get up and run, I'm going to get Patrick over to the mic to give us some orders of the day.
Thank you very much indeed. This was day one. Only 12 presentations, still 15 to go. So hopefully you still can breathe by tomorrow night. But nevertheless, if you can take all your belongings with you, also the rubbish which belongs to you as well. If you can take that with you and dump it, and if we can make our way to the coaches, we will have the normal stops at the zoo and then Hotel Glendale, and then we have our dinner at 8:30. So bring your vouchers for the meal you have chosen, and also your badges just in case that we can do a checkup. Okay, have a nice evening.